Okay, we're back and we're recording. It's great to be with everyone. I'm going to go ahead and take off the chimes just a moment. Okay, we want to stay off of mute tonight unless you've got noise in your background and you want to just press star 6 or we end up with an echo or something like that. Otherwise, let's all stay together tonight. Diane, are you with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Well, we're very interested to hear how our mental rehearsal experience last Tuesday night translated into your interview. Share with us what happened.
Well, all the way to St. Louis, I mentally rehearsed. Mm-hmm. And just as I pull up to the city limits, I get another call, and I have another interview. Had another interview in St. Louis for today. So it was like, oh my gosh, that kind of rattled me a bit. But I thought, well, I just need to focus on this one first. I'm worried about the other one later. And it was the easiest interview I have ever been through in my life. It just all shifted together perfectly. It was wonderful. I kept hearing in my head, every time I get nervous, I kept hearing your voice in my head saying, if you're nervous, you're not focusing on service. And so I kept reminding myself, you know, get back to thinking about how you're helping people. And that really helped a lot through the whole interview. They asked me fairly easy questions, but I think the questions were easy because I was so well prepared. And only one question they asked in a way that I didn't expect. And I closed my eyes for just a second in the interview, and I let the impression rise to the top. And I just got a glimpse of an experience that I had, and I was able to share it. And it went very, very well. I connected better with everybody than I've ever done in an interview before. It was really heart to heart. And I don't know if I'll get the job or not. I think they were looking for someone that had a little bit more medical background than I had, and I think everybody was like around 30 years old, and I think they were hoping for somebody about their age. But the interview lasted for an hour, and I think it was fantastic. It really, really unfolded like magic.
Well, that's awesome. So it's as good as it possibly can be. That's all you can hope for. And then today you had another interview?
Yes, so today. So I did the same thing. I mentally rehearsed for that one. And this one was for an account rep position for a company that does trade show graphics, which is probably what I'm most qualified for out of everything that I do, because I've had a lot of experience doing that. And the way the job description read, it was a sales position. And so I prepared for it as if it was a sales position. Well, between the time that I applied for the job and the interview, they decided to change it. And they decided to make it into more of an assistant to their, I don't even know what they're calling their salespeople. I guess the manufacturer sales rep, because this is a company that sells all of the materials needed for trade shows, and they're a manufacturer. So they sell to the little display studios and companies that sell directly to the client. So it's not dealing with people at all. What I would be doing, I would be assisting these people and basically project management. So So that totally threw me off, because all the questions that I had prepared and everything was all along the sales end of things. And I wasn't nervous, but I wasn't exactly sure what they wanted or needed, so I just let them lead it. And anyway, I even had to have a math test, a 4-page math test that I didn't expect. But it was all the type of math that you use in the industry, so I breezed through it fairly fast. And they didn't ask me the questions that I thought they would, but it was an hour long, and I got another interview coming up. I got a second interview out of it, so I must have done well.
Wouldn't it be fun if the first one was just to prepare you for the second one? When you were saying ask different questions, I was thinking about the three tomato story in the book, where the client took the sack with the three tomatoes into the meeting, and I asked her after what she did with the tomatoes, and she said, I took them home and ate them. and all that did was prepare her to be present to answer questions. I loved your comment about closing your eyes for just a moment. And it is interesting how the story just came to the surface when you're focused on serving, when you're focused on being present, when you're not in your state of nervousness or doubt or fear. That just shuts off that whole part of our mind, our empathy. But empathy has the capacity to go back into our past, pull from our own experiences, and bring it forward for conversation. That's fascinating. Well, thank you so much for sharing, and we wish you the best in your second interview. Come prepared next Tuesday to give us another update, because we'd love to follow this process and to see how it works as you work through it. Anyone else this evening that applied this principle of mental rehearsal and got an inspired idea or prepared themselves for a situation that would like to share?
Yes, I would, Dave. This is John in L.A.
Hi, John.
Hi there. Listen, I need to piggyback off of what happened here last Tuesday when you were so helpful in coaching our dear lady there who just spoke. I had no idea that it would in any way apply to me. It was just great training for every one of us on the call. There's no question about it. And, of course, we loved how you personalize it. You just really take us through coaching. We were all benefiting. And I had no idea, as I've already said, that this would apply to me. I had nothing coming up. I had no interview. I had nothing coming up at all. However, that changed on Thursday evening. And by Friday at 3 o'clock, I had to employ everything very, very quickly that you had taught us last Tuesday. I was, initially I was in a panic. I thought, oh, I need to call Dave right now and get some heads up on to get some more training real quick. But then I stopped and I said, wait a minute. I heard everything he said. I'm not necessarily remedial here. I heard it all, and I took it all in. And so at 3 o'clock on Friday, what turned out to be a very, very important interview for me, I had not really been actively looking for anything different. As you may recall, Dave, from private coaching, we've done a little bit. You may recall my story. I'm in L.A. I've done nothing my entire career except commute these L.A. freeways, and it is ridiculous. This last job that I'm doing now, I've been there in my fourth year, has been the longest commute I've ever done, and I generally don't tell people how long the commute is because they will think I'm absolutely loony. But since we're a group here of great friends, I will say that, in fact, in the morning I drive 100 miles to my office, and in the evening, in L.A. traffic, I drive 100 miles back home to my garage in my house. And so In the morning it's 2 hours, in the evening it's 2.5 hours, except for Fridays or holidays or crashes on the road, then it's longer. So it is ludicrous, it has been. And so I've always wanted something where I could do the very same thing I do, Dave, from home. And guess what I saw on Thursday, this journal that I look at, and there it was, exactly what I do advertised. The ad had just come out. And so on Friday morning, well, by Thursday night, by the time I finally got home, I was polishing up my resume to submit, which I did. It went straight to the CEO. I circumvented all those other people. I sort of cheated, I suppose, but it worked. My resume ended up on the CEO's desk, and by 1 o'clock, 40 minutes after the following day on Friday, 40 minutes after she got it, it's a lady CEO who runs this massive company here in Southern California, based in San Diego area. 40 minutes after I had submitted it, I get a phone call from her, and we set up a phone interview for a bit later when I can go private, and no one will hear me because I'm at work, and I don't dare let them know until we've conversation. So then we set up, and we did that. At 3 o'clock, we had this interview on the phone, and it went very, very, very well. I'm trying to employ everything you've taught me. And she brought in the director of personnel on the line, and so we had a little chat there. Then the big interview was by phone, and it was to be the following day at 11 o'clock. And it was to be with FaceTime. Those of you with iPhones, you know what FaceTime is, and it was scaring me to death because the last thing I want to do is have my mug on FaceTime. It's not flattering. FaceTime photos are awful, really. And so at 11 o'clock, sure enough, it's time to do it. I was away from home. I was in another city. And where I was at the restaurant there was no appropriate Wi-Fi connection. So my FaceTime wouldn't work. And was I glad for that. It was a phone interview, and I mentally rehearsed ahead of time. I did spend some time rehearsing it. Yes, I did, Dave, for sure. And as it turned out, I was interviewing her and the company more than the other way around, and it was such a match. There was no question. The energy there was unreal. I'm jumping all around, Dave. I apologize for that. But I have been listening to these calls, these group calls, and I've talked to you privately a bit, for some time. And all of this time I'm thinking, you know, where am I? How is it really getting not only under my skin and into my mind, but is it getting into my heart too? Am I ever really going to employ these principles? And lo and behold, there was nothing but the principles being employed with that interview. It went on for a long time, 40 minutes on the phone, just the CEO and myself. And I'm telling you, if I could have been hired, if I could have left my current job and started there the very next day, it would have happened. But I don't have to start it there. I get to do it from home. So what blessing is that? It's just pouring on me. I can't believe it. So, you know, we've worked out everything. Yes, I'm rejoicing. I can tell you that. I couldn't have asked for something better. Now, I know the others on the call don't really know me like you do, but this couldn't have been better. No more commute. Now, I do have to give notice, of course, and I do have to give, because of my position, I need to give basically a month. No one can really wait for it to happen. I'm very, very afraid still. I have some trepidation, big time, about telling my current CEO that I'll be leaving. But I do have appropriate reason for leaving, and that is, I mean, no one in their right mind, who is just absolutely loony, would make the commute that I've been making. So, of course, I can be home with my wife, and it's important. So enough of that, but it's a glorious report, and it wasn't even intended for me.
My phone, I didn't.
Well, thank you, John. That's just a great report. How fun is this as we start to actually use these principles by way of coaching? Be prepared. Just felt inspired to say this to you. So be prepared that your current boss might say, well, you could work from home for me.
I know. Dave, just be prepared.
Just be prepared.
I am. Let me just say this. That's already happened once. I'm in my fourth year there, and during the first year, I guess I'd been there 8 or 9 months, I was ruminating about, I need to not do this. And the CEO, at that point, in order to get me to not leave, gave me a massive raise. It was unreal. No one's ever had that kind of raise. I'm the highest paid one there for sure in what I do. But in this particular, and someone the other day told me when I was sharing this with them, they said, be prepared for them to counter again. And and try to do something like that. But with this particular company I'm with now, it's not, there is really no way for it to be done virtually from home. It's just not, because there's, it's not completely electronic where I am now, whereas with this new company, everything is electronic. And so there is that, still that possibility that they'll try another raise to keep me there. I know that. I don't know what to do about it. I'm going to have to say...
No, it's really simple. If they want to keep you, they need to give you a helicopter.
That's it, dude. Let's jump the LA traffic. Let's just jump it. And the parking lot, I can sit down in the parking lot. There you go. Well, thanks for listening. I know I'm taking a lot of the time, but it wasn't meant for me last Tuesday, but guess who benefited in addition to Diane? So did I. Oh, did I ever. So by tomorrow, I'll be giving my notice, and it's that's the scary part. You know, I'm going to have to do it, and I don't know. I'll have to handle it. I'm a grown man. I can handle it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you, Diane. This is what it's all about when we're going through these principles. I would encourage everyone who's on the phone tonight to think in terms of mental rehearsal for anything that's coming up. It's mentally rehearsing. I did a little mental rehearsal on Mother's Day, just a little mental rehearsal in preparation for it, and it impacted the meal. It impacted who participated. Just saw a couple of simple things. And Ramona, you're on the phone with us now because she wanted to be able to hear these stories because she was sitting next to me, couldn't hear them. I think we had an exceptional time together because there was just a little mental rehearsal. It wasn't a big, gigantic circus event. It was just a few things that fell into place the way they should fall into place just by giving it just a little extra thought. What can I create? How can I create that? How will this serve? You can do that when you're preparing to go out on a date with your sweetheart. You can prepare it when we're going to walk in the office in the morning so that you're in the right mindset. You can do it when you're dealing with children. You can use it in so many different places. Now, we've got a little bit of an echo happening, so let's just check and have a couple people go on mute and see if that'll take that away.
Hey, Dave, it's Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Beverly.
Beverly,
sometimes
Beverly.
My phone is the reverb, so I'll go on mute. Okay?
Okay. Oh, that's right. We had that before, didn't we? Did you want to make a comment before you do that?
I just want to say to Diane and John that I missed last week's call, but I like John's comment about, I've been listening to all these calls, and sometimes I wonder, am I really getting it? Is it going to show up? So thank you for the story. It was great.
Well, thank you. I'm going to take you into the next.
I'm going to go next. On mute then, Dave.
Okay. Thank you, Beverly. I just had this flash of that picture that you painted in my mind. Beverly is a painter, and she painted this painting of basically holding her thoughts in her hand and looking at them. It's very abstract, but it's an incredible painting. Anyway, I just had a flash of that. As we're considering this gift we have, this vivid visualization, it is so easy to get sidetracked, to get derailed even, by negative thought processes, worry and fear, or fantasy, and what happens when we go into those spaces. What we're doing again is pulling that tomahawk out and saying, not going to go there today. I'm going to choose to use this gift differently. Now, I don't want you to think for a moment that, how am I going to say this? Because Ramona's on the line with me, and she'll appreciate this. There's a couple of things, decisions we're making in our business to expand in a couple of areas, and some of them are very painful to think through. And time, commitment, financial commitments, all those kinds of pieces. And sometimes there's more ideas than there are funds to develop. And sometimes there can be some discouragement in that process. And I'm just telling you, in the last week, there have been several times where I've had to say, I can't go there. And one of those occurred last Thursday evening. This is a way of inspiration. This is when we shift our thought processes from ourselves and we ask the question, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Now, you can hear this on the audio that's in your studio, or you can just write that down right now. If there is anyone I can serve, in quotation marks, I can serve, that means based on my life experience, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Last Thursday night, Ramon and I sat down and we were watching one of the past seasons of Downton Abbey. For anybody who's a Downton Abbey fan, we just loved that show. We thought it was great. Great television, well produced, well written, beautiful ensemble of actors. And we'd watched that, and we got done. It was about 9:30, and I'm sitting in there, and I'm reflecting on some things I need to do the next day, and I was just, wow, I was just feeling overwhelmed, just overwhelmed. And I remember consciously pulling out the tomahawk. Not going to go there. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. It's this conscious decision. It's the decision to go back into service instead of the selfish exercise of wallowing in our worry. Because that's a very selfish thing to do, because when we're in that wallowing in our worry, we're not fully available to serve others, and we miss opportunities to serve. So I said, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I'll serve them. And a name came to my mind. And so I sent a text message. I said, are you still up? And he said, yes, I'm still up. So I called him, and I said, how are you doing? He'd been working on a situation with a relationship. And he said, that's so strange that you would call right now, because I've been praying. Just think about this. I've been praying for an answer, and I didn't feel like I was getting one. There's just like, it's like my prayers were bouncing off the ceiling, he said. If anybody's ever been prayerful and felt that way, like you're just not getting anywhere. And then you called. Well, interestingly, I had the answer for him as he shared what he was dealing with. I had the answer, and I said, isn't it interesting how that works? You are seeking an answer, and I'm saying, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I'll serve them. My mind turns to you, and I call, and I happen to have the answer to the question you're asking. I thought that was interesting, so I brought that to his attention. The next morning, I get a phone call from someone I have not heard from for 9 months. 9 months. And this is what he said, precisely. He said, last night, I could not get your name off of my mind. And so I started pondering why, and I realized there are two people I need to hook you up with. And he gave me the two people, and I knew both of them. And they're people I would really like to connect, because both of them were solutions to that which was wearing on me the previous night. I thought that was fascinating. My friend is praying. I ask if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path. I reflect on people's names. His name comes into my mind. I call him, and I happen to have the answer for him. And while I'm in service, someone else is being prompted to help me and calls the next day with the answer to what I'm seeking. I called my friend back that I'd talked to the previous night, and I said, let me tell you the rest of the story. This is just a validation that when you plug into the planet, you plug into the planet. That's not, you can't be there when we're in the dark dungeon, despair and discouragement, or we're in fantasy. That is so unplugged. We plug into the planet. If, is there anyone I can serve? What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve them? I'm mentally rehearsing the next exercise. I get inspired ideas. I'm prepared, and things go, as Diane said, smoother than they've ever gone before. And then we seek inspiration, and we get inspired ideas to call and talk to very specific people. I had some amazing conversations this week with some extremely powerful, beautiful people in the sports world. Because that's where we're headed with these principles to the Division I football teams. And all of this got initiated by an impression. when I was in Dallas speaking to the SMU football team, and I got an inspired idea to invite someone who'd been there the previous day to come and speak with me. And he wasn't on the calendar, and I didn't know why. I'm thinking, gosh, why would I give him part of my time? I've got a message for this team. His was the icing on the cake, and it allowed us to spend some time with one another in a very sacred space and opened up an entire possibility for how to take on all the Division I schools that we want to take on to help them in measuring thought processes that impact performance and helping their coaches more effectively coach them to higher levels of performance. We want to pay attention to this piece. This second use of our vivid visualization plugs us in to absolute service of another, because there's nothing that we're asking for ourselves. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them. And I'm going to ask all of us this week as a homework assignment to reflect on this piece, and when we get an idea, to have the courage to call. I've told the story many times. It's in the book, of calling my friend who I had not talked to for a year and a half. When I said, how you doing? He said, great. And having the courage to say, then why can't I get your name off my mind? People's names are not on our mind when we're absorbed in our own stuff. When we're wallowing in our own woe, we will not get the impression to talk to someone else. We pull out our tomahawk, not going there today. I'm staying in creation. And this piece of creation is, what could I create that would bless the life of another person? Knowing that abundance is not something that we win. It's actually something we don't even seek to receive. It's a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. We needed some funds to solve an investment in a process. I think I can go this far. Oops. We got a little noise in the background. If you could press *6, that would be great. I got a phone call today from someone who basically was calling to see if I needed anything like that. It was miraculous. Miraculous. I'm just sharing with you my life experience, paying attention to this particular and very powerful way of using your vivid visualization, totally turning it to the service of another. And it's just been my experience that when we do that, someone else is getting prepared to reciprocate back to us. It is miraculous to watch and to be a part of. Tonight, I'm going to be deeply grateful when Ramona and I hope you're okay if I say this, we have our prayers in the evening together, and when we kneel down to say those prayers, it's going to be a really heartfelt feeling. I'm going to give you one last piece. I think I shared a piece of this, but now you'll hear the rest of the story. Yesterday morning at 11:50, a dear, dear friend, Ruth Van Buren, passed away. Last year she had cancer on her neck. They removed it, about a grapefruit size cancer tumor. Removed part of her jaw, her inner ear, had to do bone graft, plastic surgery, radiation. She was deemed cancer free. And 4 weeks ago, the cancer came back with such a vengeance. Oh, it's just unbelievable. When I talked to her 2 weeks ago, she felt inspired to call me at a very specific time in the day. And I happened to be sitting in the backyard of June Jones, the SMU football coach, with Lee Steinberg, the number one sports agent in the world. We're just having a really intimate, wonderful conversation. And she called right then. She felt impressed. I didn't take the call, but I had an extremely powerful impression to take it right then. So I excused myself and made the phone call. I got to talk to Ruth. She was still fighting. She was still hopeful. It didn't look good because the cancer was in her brain. It was in her shoulder. It was in her spine. It was in both of her lungs. It was in her hip. It almost completely taken over a vertebrae. She was in really serious trouble. She was so positive, and it was so important because when I stepped back into the conversation and I shared what had just happened, it set up one of the most beautiful experiences I've had with a guy, a really wonderful spiritual conversation. Three very different belief systems unified in the discussion about the sanctity and beauty of life. Because Ruth said in her closing statement to me, no matter what happens, I win either way. I'll never forget it. I win either way. That set up this incredible conversation that has just launched something that's magnificent. I shared with Ruth the next day. She apologized that she interrupted me when I was in Dallas. I said, no, you felt inspired to call me right then. And that conversation impacted the next conversation so powerfully. Also got the chance to be able to talk to her for a little bit, you know, before we lost her. What a champion. But the subtlety of what I experienced with her inspiration, that's what this is called, inspiration, being inspired to call in that moment, me being inspired to take the call in that moment, being inspired to share the story in that moment, watching the next piece unfold because of it. We watch these miracles in our life, but we only experience them when we pull out the tomahawk and say, not going to go there today. Because again, we cannot have these impressions in our life when we're wallowing in our worry. However, when we're fully present, plugged into the planet, ready to show up and serve, because you give to get. If you want to have, then you serve. Service comes first. It opens up the door and gets this whole process working, because we're all so incredibly tied together. So please, this week, take this one on and begin the journey of some of the most precious experiences you'll have in your life. And some of you are already doing this. You started back when we were coaching together individually or as a group. But make this a part of your life that every morning you start the day with, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. I can tell you today who that was. Make sure that when you're getting ready to go to bed at night, you know who it was. You know who it was. You felt impressed to do something you may not have done otherwise, and it made all the difference. And sometimes in the moment, in that day, you don't see the rest of the story. But journal what happened, because 3 or 4 weeks from now, you'll look back and you'll find that that might have been the catalyst that ignited something else, that ignited something else. And the whole sequence began with you making the decision to serve somebody who you, uniquely you, because of what you've been through, you could serve. You could serve. That's inspiration. We could end tonight on that one, but I wanted to share that one with you. The other one I wanted to share tonight is called exploration. This is when we start to explore possibilities, but without making tangible commitments. We explore possibilities. That could be as simple as thinking through the remodeling of a bathroom before you ever lift a hammer, and realizing that door that's going to swing into the toilet you really want swinging the other way. Simple as that. It can be the story I told in the book of my client who had mentally rehearsed someone up at 1 o'clock in the morning pacing the floor, had lost his job, goes to Craigslist, looks up an opportunity, gets excited about it, but he comes out of this experience before he sees what the ad says. So he's exploring possibilities. Writing the ad, that doesn't work. He knows what it's supposed to do. He's seen it have an effect on somebody in his own mind. So So he writes an ad, another ad, another ad, another ad, another ad. He's searching, he's exploring possibilities without placing one of these, in the newspaper, or online in this case with Craigslist. He finally gets the ad he knows will speak to that person he has seen in his mental rehearsal, and that's the ad he places, and with incredible results. Now, it's not always going to be perfect, but the word is mitigate. We mitigate or lessen risk and mistake by exploring possibilities without making tangible commitments. We want to own that car. Well, let's explore the ownership of that car. Not just how cool it's going to be to drive, but if you finance it or lease it, what it's going to be like to pay for it every month, and what it's going to be like to be paying for it 24 months from now. Explore that possibility. And see if you really want to have that liability to drive that car, and you might choose not to buy the car. You might want to live in a certain neighborhood. I can tell you, well, I won't tell you. One of the risks, someone says, well, I'd like to have that house up there on that hill. That's where I'd like to live. But some people move into that kind of a neighborhood, and they don't feel comfortable enough with themselves to associate with the people. So they're terribly uncomfortable in the neighborhood. You want to be at ease. You want to be able to walk across the yard to your neighbor's house or across the street to your neighbor's house and have great relationships with your neighbors and have something in common or at least interest that you can share. And sometimes we're not prepared. We just want the big house. We can explore possibilities without making tangible commitments. And we can determine, wow, to do that, I want the following things to happen. I need to start reading a few more books. I need to go to a few more classes. I need to do some things constructively that we can see because we explored it. We experienced it vividly. And we wanted to see what it was going to be like before we made a tangible commitment. And it can save us a tremendous amount of grief. One caveat on this, we have a tendency to go into fantasy, which means we are thinking about things that we cannot afford, nor are we doing the kinds of things necessary to be able to afford them. We just want to go live in them and see what it's like. That's not exploration, that's fantasy. You want to be able to explore possibilities. I know that when we were looking at the home we live in right now, I think I wrote about this in the book. I talk about Ramona mentally rehearsing moving in, riding her bicycle and walking these hills and with all of this work. And when she felt comfortable, then we made an offer on the house. She, in her mind, moved in, but we were ready to make the offer. And that's a key piece. You don't want to spend too much time exploring something that so far in the future you haven't got in place the mechanism to actually execute it. That's not exploration again, that's just fantasy. Explore things before you make decisions. I've had this conversation, well, in relationships, these are good things to explore, especially when people might be tempted to do things that could violate a relationship. To explore the possibilities all the way down to the very end and make sure all the pieces have been considered before decisions are made that could impact relationships. If we truly explored the consequences, we would all make fewer mistakes. So exploration is a very powerful way of using our vivid visualization. The last one for tonight is called problem solving. Problem solving is just a way for us to take advantage of the fact that this part of our mind is systemic. You can just write that down. It's system with an ick on the end, system ick. It just means all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose, life or death. This is why people get into right-wrong battles over silly things. I wrote in the book, you can blow a marriage apart based on the correct topping for a pizza, pepperoni, or sausage. And my client said, no, actually, it was a bagel. Because this part of our mind does not distinguish the seriousness. It just needs to be right. Because to be wrong would be to have the world on tilt. And if the world's already on tilt, the need to fix it. A lot of us on this phone are fixers. You know, we want to fix everybody, fix everything. Because, gosh, when it's broken, we can hardly stand it because this part of our mind is so active that it just goes nuts until it's fixed, until it's solved. Well, that could be very negative, but it can also be extremely positive. Because if we've got a highly systemic mind that's obsessively thinking, we can hand it a problem. Hand it a problem. And it'll take that problem and solve it. I'll just give you an example of one. I've been trying to figure out ways for us to promote our Augmandino certified coaches. And I just turned the problem loose, and I pondered it and pondered it and pondered it. I happened to be sitting in church one Sunday morning when the final answer came. Boom! Take 10 of them, give them a scroll, and have each one of them write a chapter in a book, their story, the story of a client, and then help them identify a high-profile person who's used that scroll in their life to create success, and help interview them so they can write about their story. You know how to take a book into Amazon and the New York Times bestseller list and turn it into a best-selling book and create a best-selling book that features your 10 of your coaches at a time, times 8 books, 80 coaches. It never crossed my mind. People have told me I'm nuts. Why would you do that, Dave? Why wouldn't you be the best-selling author? Because I want coaches who can take this material to the world and to have the calling card of a best-selling book in which their own story is told is extremely powerful. So that's what we're doing. Isn't that fun? That was a solution to a problem that was solvable. I was been trying to find the solution, and it was very simple. My mind finally said, Dave, you speak. People buy books. They do the assessment, and you have opportunities to coach them. You can't expect your coach to go get a speaking engagement and sell your book. They need to have their own book. Oh, yeah. And now not just one book, but we're going to have a chicken soup series, basically. Scroll 2, Greet This Day With Love In My Heart. Next book, I'll Persist Until I Succeed. Book 3, I'm Nature's Greatest Miracle. These are going to be incredible books, where people are telling fabulous stories. That's problem solving. Coming up with solutions that are just so out of the park. Nobody has ever done, they've done anthologies, books where you have 30 authors and they pay $5,000 to be a part of it. They get mentioned in the book. They get 200 copies and they get to say, I'm a best-selling author. Or I'm an author. I'm not best-selling, I'm an author. And the only person making money is the guy who put the deal together. That isn't our objective. My objective was successful coaches. That's a problem-solving exercise. Now, just be careful not to give your mind a problem that is unsolvable. I'll give you an example. You may have a house that's worth less than the current mortgage. Obsessively worrying is not problem-solving. Problem-solving could be, well, then we need to short-sell it if we need to sell the house. That would be a way of approaching it. It's coming up with workable solutions. I know from exercising this problem-solving use of vivid visualization enough times that you can kind of feel in your gut there's a solution, you just can't find it. You just know it's there. You can feel it. You can feel it's there. It just hasn't come yet. Just give this part of your mind the assignment to work on it. And I just know the day will come and you'll wake up in the middle of the night with the answer. You might be driving down the road, and boom, there it is. Something you had never considered before, totally from a different perspective. Your mind has an enormous capacity to problem solve if it's a solvable problem. So just test it with that. Can I feel there's an answer? I just don't know where it is. Sometimes you'll read a book or you'll read some articles. You'll do some research on the Internet, things to stimulate it. And then your mind will work on it, even while you're asleep, coming up and looking at it from this direction, that direction, this direction. Boom, light bulb comes on. The only reason why we don't have this capacity in our life is because we're wallowing in our own misery. That's an enormous amount of energy. It's obsessive and it's destructive. Not going to go there today. I'm not going to go into fantasy. I'm not going to go into counterfeit forms of visual pleasure. I'm going to stay in mental rehearsal. We've heard that one. Next week, we're going to hear some examples from all of you on inspiration, exploration, problem solving. Now, you'll notice this time around, we're spending a little bit more time on this because our objective is not to just get through these principles. My objective this turn around is to have what we experienced earlier with John. Diane, is for you to have some experience with it, actually using it in your life. We want this to be experiential. I think it'll be more and more exciting to come back to these Tuesday night calls if you're actually having an experience with one of these principles. So commit this week. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. If you got something you're working on, explore possibilities before you make the decision. Really explore it. If you got a problem you're working on, then turn it loose and see how far you can get in a week. Of course, keep mentally rehearsing. And next week, we're going to do one entire week on goal setting. Goal setting, we talked about it when we were in our coaching sessions, and I just know that we haven't done it yet. We really haven't done it. Get that vision in our mind and work our way back and put all the pieces together to actually execute it so that every day we know why we're here, and why we're doing what we're doing. We're moving this 1 millimeter closer to the vision we've seen in our mind. I want so badly for us all to live this way. It's such a beautiful way to live. So come back next week having practiced these pieces and ready to do some goal setting. Ramona asked me a question. The answer is probably no. She asked if we're skipping next Tuesday because next Wednesday morning is Ruth Van Buren's funeral in Las Vegas. But we have too many lives here. I'll get down to Las Vegas on Tuesday afternoon so that we can still have this session. I'll be doing it via cell phone. But come prepared next Tuesday evening to really take on these principles. And then we're going to put on a clinic that all of us will participate in goal setting, so that the rest of 2013, we'll wake up in the morning and we'll know why we're going to do what we're doing. There'll be a purpose. No more frenetic craziness. No running around like a chicken with her head cut off. Busy, 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 busy. There'll be purpose in all that we do. Okay. Well, I wanted to get that information to you tonight. We've got just about 7 minutes. Is there anyone in terms of having mentally rehearsed this last week or any questions about these other three ways that I've shared with you tonight in preparation for this week? By the way, scroll is still scroll number 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. Remember, Og says there'll be days when I must constantly struggle against forces that would tear me down. That sometimes that tomahawk, you'll have to pull it out 75 times. But the more often you go into creation, the faster you'll get out. Because you'll remember, you'll have examples to draw on of things that were created because you made that choice. That doesn't mean you won't be pulled, because there will be days when you'll still struggle. I do. I just know the quicker I get into mental creation that's constructive, the sooner I start having these experiences again. So I want to do that quickly. Any comments or thoughts before we wrap up tonight?
Dave, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
One quick thing I wanted to mention to you about today's interview that I did. It was particularly difficult to keep my focus because Bruce has been my business mentor for the last 20 years, and her death has really impacted me. And so I was able to carry out this interview And I'm sure that they didn't know that my heart was so heavy. I was able to really, really, really focus on just the interview and put my pain aside for a while. I just wanted to mention that to you. And my heart goes out to you, too, because I know you loved her as well.
I had to have one of the most important meetings I've attended in the last year, 45 minutes after I got the news. I was having empathy for what you were just saying to stay focused. However, I found a certain peace. That's why I love so much that she called that one day and said, Dave, either way I win. Either way I win. Isn't that wonderful?
It's amazing. She was the most amazing woman I ever met.
She was. Is. She still is.
Yeah.
And this next Wednesday we'll meet and celebrate her life with Curtis. And Curtis and I text earlier today, and so I was checking in to see how he was doing, and it's been difficult for him. This was the love of his life, and they found each other kind of late in their lives, and fortunately they found each other, because he has been just a godsend for Ruth through this process, right there by her side, supporting her through it. So thank you for mentioning that. You know, when we all reflect on our lives, and we say, how would we like to be remembered? What kind of a footprint are we going to leave on this planet? Is it going to matter? Because I wrote a blog about Ruth just 5 days ago, on the 9th. My conversations with her, and I could pull it up, because she asked me when I read it to her, because I said, you know, I was sharing it with her, and she was very excited that we're going to be posting this blog post that involved somewhat of our story of what happened when I was down in Texas. Let me just pull it up real quick if I can get it to open. Here we go. Because there was a piece in this that when I was reading it, please emphasize that. Please emphasize that. And so I'll come down to this part of it and I'll emphasize it. This is what she wanted me to emphasize. We are here for a purpose. We are meant to engage in life. That's what I talk about, plugging into the planet. Embrace principles. Connect with and serve others. Create value everywhere we go and with everyone we meet. If we're mentally rehearsing those things, we will do that. And contribute to the world. We are meant to leave a footprint on this planet that others can follow. We do not have a moment to waste wallowing in despair and discouragement. Nothing ever good comes of it. Let us stay in creation. Those last two sentences Ruth had me add. We do not have a moment to waste wallowing in despair and discouragement. Nothing good ever comes of it. Let us stay in creation. Her daughter wrote a blog about the last few hours of her life, and right up to the night before, when she kind of slipped into what was basically a coma, she was still positive and encouraged and focused on healing. Not a moment was wasted. Nobody felt despair other than a sense of loss. And I think everybody's going, wow, those are footprints I'd like to follow. That's how I would like to live. So let us close tonight with that tribute to Ruth Van Buren, who lived life so beautifully and served so many people so selflessly. An entire career and life of it. She did it in her private life. She did it with her grandchildren, with her own children, with those who worked with her in business. Let us this week just not go there. Let's not go in that despair. Pull the tomahawk, not go in there. Let's mentally rehearse. Seek inspiration. Explore possibilities. And let's problem solve. And let's come back next week to goal set, so that we have a vision for our life that makes sense. And we're working toward it, so that every day matters. Because when the day matters, we matter. Others matter. life becomes so beautiful when we live in that space, when we live like a Ruth Van Buren. Thanks, Diana, for mentioning that she was your mentor. She was.
Mm-hmm. She was, totally.
Well, thanks, everyone. It's been a joy being with you tonight. I just love these experiences on Tuesday night. They become so rich to me. I get off the phone, and Ramona and I just give each other a big hug, and because we want so much for these principles to be in your life so that you can be finding joy. And especially when there are firestorms. These principles don't eliminate the firestorms. They just prepare us so that we can show up more effectively in them, which means we can create the things that will get us out of them quicker. These principles don't eliminate life's challenges. They just help us handle them more effectively and create more quickly. So let us do that. Well, thanks, everyone. Come off of mute just real quick and say goodnight so we know you're here. And if you do that, so just come off of mute and just tell us goodnight, if you would, please.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. See you next Tuesday.
Good night, Ramona.